This is Melange à deux, a Vienna podcast. Herzlich willkommen. Hi, everybody. This is Frau Batsby with Hair X. Say hello.
Hello.
Today we are going to be talking about a controversial artist named Egon Schiele. For those of you who are new to the podcast, the idea is that I, Frau Batsby, tell Herr X all about a famous Austrian that you don't know much about.
Exactly. And I don't know much about anything, so it'll be very easy to surprise me.
The list is long. Today it's all about Hitler. Also, never heard of him. Kiddo Batling is going to be around because he's got a cold. So if you hear stimming in the back, that's him. But don't let it distract you. Probably come in for some more toast or juice. So I thought we could do a little banter.
Banter?
Yeah, we should banter.
Oh, we should have practiced then.
Yeah, I know. We never talk. So last weekend, what show did we binge watch?
Oh, yes, that Anna Delvey story.
Inventing Anna.
Inventing Anna.
And that was fantastic.
Well cast, well acted. What's the name, the lady, Garner?
Julie Garner. She's from Ozark.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Ruth.
She had the great accent on this show of Inventing Anna. You're poor.
And the funny thing is that in, what was it, which show was that? Ozarks. Mm-hmm. She plays Ruth, who has this southern accent. And it turns out that she's from the Bronx.
She's amazing. No, I think she's from, is she from the Bronx?
Riverdale.
Oh, right, okay.
The rich, the posh Bronx.
I was going to be a snob. I was like, oh, is she from the Bronx? Also, yesterday we celebrated 5 years together.
Yes.
Which is also Kristallnacht. And you got me a really cool gift. Do you want to explain it?
Yeah. So, it sounds like an ad sponsor, but we found a company called Aravrit, which is they'll take Arabic and Hebrew letters and put them together so that the two different cultures are not living just parallel existence, but are touching.
It's beautiful.
And I think it's very much us. I think our first conversation was involving hummus.
Yeah, and then somebody was like, what about chocolate hummus? And we were like, get out of here.
It was our first common, no. That is horrible. Please go away from us.
What's wrong with you, chocolate hummus? So you got me a beautiful necklace, and it says dream. So helm and
halom.
Halom. And then a beautiful cup.
It's funny, you remembered the Arabic, and I have to tell you the Hebrew. See?
Yeah. Well, it's like I was having that conversation with my friend the other day who speaks Hebrew, like she speaks many languages, and she's been studying Arabic, and she's like, don't you find it hard when you're studying Arabic that you mix it up with Hebrew? And I was like, no. So, also, the other thing that's coming up tomorrow is our dog's third birthday. Mm-hmm. And it also falls on Remembrance Day, November 11th.
Otherwise known as?
Martini Gansel.
Yeah.
Which is St. Martin. And the traditional Austrian meal is?
Goose.
So we're going to have, I was going to say duck. We're going to have roasted goose. And you make potato dumplings, and I stuff them with chestnuts.
Exactly.
And then there's red cabbage with like apple.
I'm already hungry.
Yeah. I'm going to just probably have the dumplings and gravy.
I'm missing the best part.
I know. Oh, I don't like goose. And it's also in Vienna or in Austria, 11:11 at 11:11 is when ball season starts.
Exactly.
So that everybody, if you are in Vienna, you go down to the Graben and then people waltz at 11:11 and they pass out those jelly donuts, Kopfen.
It must be amazing for the World War I allies to see that, they will commemorate this by waltzing. Yes. And also, don't forget the Kropfen, of course.
The Kropfen, the jelly donuts. Yes. We'll have to get some. I don't like the ones with the apricot. Apricot?
Apricot.
Apricot. I
like apricot? The ones,
I don't know. I don't do fruit. Okay, so I guess that was our banter. I'm sure we'll think of other things to talk about.
Banter. This was completely unscripted, like everything else on this show. So pardon us if we're like kind
everything
of
everything else on the show. I write notes.
Oh no, I'm talking about it from my perspective. I just show up.
All right. So you ready to talk?
Which is like what a lot of guys do at their wedding. Just tell me when to be there.
I'll just show up. Yeah, don't forget we have date night tonight to celebrate.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna go to Schwarz and Kamel.
Yes, the Black Camel.
The Black Camel, really cool place. Very excited to go. Okay, so we're gonna talk about art. You are not a big fan of
so just say what you're thinking. I'm not a cultured person.
I'm not saying that. Your culture in dashes. It's more like you're not, you like Dali.
Well, who wouldn't like Dali?
There's lots of people who don't like Dali.
Especially my favorite version of Dali had to be Midnight in Paris Dali.
Yeah, that was, okay, that's the end.
He will paint the rhinoceros. Great movie, by the way.
Fantastic film. And, I hear the child in the back. Okay, we'll see. I try to lock him in. So, yeah, for me, I have different favorite artists.
That was a joke, by the way.
Yes.
I will put the sarcasm tag whenever it happens. People are like, are we going to get listener questions?
Mommy shamed. Listener questions. Why do you lock your child in a room? He is free range. It's fine. So I like a lot of artists, but they're probably considered like the basic artists in terms of like the basic bitch likes those artists. And I don't care because I think art is personal and it's subjective and it's up to you what you like. But I'm a big fan of, I do like Dali. I like Manet. I like Frida Kahlo.
Well, did you see the in timely news fashion that Picasso that sold for $139 million?
Yes. And you're really upset because you don't like the painting.
I was so upset because I think like somebody could have done that in kindergarten.
Okay, we're not going to get into a discussion because then we're going to get really a lot of emails.
Well, no, then the thing is you showed me like Picasso doing actual like, you know, amazing portraits, like amazing.
He was incredibly talented.
Well, I don't doubt his talent, but then his famous stuff.
But you like Guernica. You like that painting.
Yes.
Yeah.
That actually has a feeling behind it. This one was like a lady that was drawn like, I'm sure there's some genius in it. I just don't see it.
Well, let me tell you about my art experience because I have high school art experience, so I feel very unqualified.
I know you're actually very talented. You did the like a lot of these drawings, the one with Kiddo.
No, I didn't do that.
You didn't do Kiddo.
I didn't do that. No.
No, but you did something where I saw. And I'm quickly panicking now. I know you did something.
I did that. Yeah, that sketch. It was like one of the sketches that survived from high school. So I did IB art for my last 2 years of high school, and I did really large sketches. I lost the one that I did of Hemingway. My parents are still mad about me losing that.
I'm mad about that.
Yeah, drawing is practice, but I can't draw anymore. I'll tell you about the pieces I did for my final art exam and how deep I was as an 18-year-old. I did a self-portrait on a pair of ice skates. Because I thought it was very...
You didn't do the self-portrait on the ice while wearing skates.
No, that would have been a performance piece.
That would have been amazing.
That would have been amazing. No, I did like a self-portrait, like kind of a Frida Kahlo, like I am very deep by painting on an old pair of ice skates. I also did a recreation of Botticelli's Birth of Venus. Do you know that painting where it's the woman naked and there's a shell? She's being born. You'd
yes.
recognize it. But I did it as an ad for plastic surgery. It was so deep. And then I did a drawing of many sheep. And then one sheep was in the front dressed like Stalin. And it was titled, A Sheep in Wolf Clothing. I'm so deep.
Well, I'll tell you, it's deeper than that 139 Picasso, million Picasso.
Oh, dollars. We're not getting into that argument. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Egon Schiele, who is an Austrian painter. You probably saw a couple of his works in the Albertino, because during the pandemic we had our date nights where we would go like to a museum, or we'd go to Schwarz and Kamel and you'd have oysters, and then we'd go grocery shopping at Bougie Julius Meinl. Those were fun.
There were very limited options during the pandemic, but we took it to the limit.
We figured it out. So my sources today are, it's a novel, The Flames by Sophie Haydock. It's a fictionalized story about the woman of Sheila. It's a really good book. Wikipedia, of course. The Tate Museum site, tate.org.uk, Sotheby's.com, the artnewspaper.com, dailyartmagazine.com, and dorotam.com. Dorotam is the auction house here.
Okay.
Okay, so Egon Schiele is considered an expressionist figurative painter. According to the Oxford Dictionary, quote, expressionism is a style and movement in the early 20th century art, theater, and movies that tries to express people's feelings and emotions rather than showing events or objects in a realistic way.
And for listeners at home or in the car or wherever you're getting this podcast, I like, well, that's the one thing that I do know about art. I know Monet. I know that's expressionist, no?
Impressionist.
Oh, Jesus. So, as you see,
we're going to have to go to some museums.
Oh, jeez.
But good.
And I also know that if you take yellow and blue, you make green.
The confidence of a man.
And I also know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Are we recording? All right. So let's go.
Oh, no. We're keeping all of these in.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, yeah, because we don't know how to edit. Stop kicking the chair.
Well, the chair shouldn't be in my way.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Are you ready?
Wait. Let me tell you what else I know.
All right. I'm going to start. So Egon Schiele was born Egon Leo Adolf Ludwig Schiele. On June 12th, 1890, in Tulln, Lower Austria, so Niederösterreich. Do you remember?
Yes.
Niederösterreich?
Yeah, I just remembered the Cars am Kamp.
Cars am Kamp, our nightmare trip in January, which you can read about in my blog, which I haven't updated, but we that was a hellish trip.
That really...
it was like a horror movie.
Like every time now when we're like, you know what, let's just travel within Austria. We're like, no.
We will not go in January to a valley. The fog is crazy. We will go to like beautiful ski regions and have fondue. Okay. So Egon Schiele's father was born in Vienna and was the train station master at the Tulln train station. Mm-hmm. And his mother was born in Český Krumlov, which is a town that we need to go to.
How do you say that?
Chesky. Do you think Chesty? Český Krumlov.
Okay.
Yeah. So Egon had a sister who was 4 years younger, and I'll talk about her in a little bit. Schiele was a reserved and quiet boy and preferred to spend his time sketching. His main interest as a young boy was trains, and it was great because they lived at a train station. He would spend hours sketching trains, and his father was not a fan of his son being an artist, and he ended up actually destroying a lot of his sketchbooks throughout his childhood.
I understand sometimes fathers can be a little tough and want to mold their kids in a certain way, but he's drawing.
It's like, I know. This is toxic masculinity.
Yes, blame it on the masculinity.
No, it's just, you know, back in the day. And probably nowadays, too, in some situations. So at the age of 11, he moved to Krems to go to school, and then afterwards to Klosterneuburg. We went to that monastery a few years ago, and there's a movie called In the Name of the Rose starring Sean Connery, and it's a true story that took place in Klosterneuburg with the monks. In general, Schiele was kind of considered an outcast. He was a pale child, not very outgoing, and he was the art kid in school.
Nerd.
he was artsy. He also started to show an incestuous interest in his younger sister, Gertrude.
Am I going to start getting depressed now?
Maybe.
No, please.
I did say he was a controversial artist.
Oh,
so,
that's very controversial.
At one point when he was a young teen, his father had to break down the door as Egon had locked himself in the room with his sister.
Uh-oh.
They were apparently only making a film.
Well, that's good.
I need a citation on this one. And also, I'm really shocked that they would have any film equipment in the early 1900s.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't...
Maybe that was... The father didn't want him to paint. He's like, no, we got filmmaking equipment. You can be doing this. This is the future.
This is the future, yeah.
He was looking ahead.
So that is a rumor. And then another time when he was 16, he took a train to Trieste with his 12-year-old sister, and they spent a night in the hotel. Mm. It could be that they were just going on an adventure.
That's what I'm saying.
At the age of 14, his father passed from syphilis.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is now on the rise in America.
Yeah, apparently, well, newborns are getting it. Which is, everyone be careful out there, please.
Gird your loins, literally. So then, after his father passes away, he moves in with his uncle, who is kind of high up in the train company. And his uncle is also frustrated with his lack of academic drive, but he does recognize that he's very talented in drawing. So in 1905, Sheila goes to the Kunstgewerbeschule, but only lasted a year. That's a school here in Austria. And that's more of a, what's it called? It's an art school, but it's also, I think, for trade. He felt it was too confining. And so then in 1906, he enrolled in the Academy of Bildende Kunst, which is the famous art school here in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And in...
So the
crazy thing is that that's where Hitler tried applying to, and he tried at the same time as Sheila, but the last time he applied was in 1908, when he did not get in. Mm. I think the final time, and that was it. If only he had gotten into art school.
Well, what if Sheila didn't get into art school? Then it could have been also a catastrophic decision.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So, of course, at the time, Gustav Klimt was very, very famous. And he's the guy with the kiss, and we'll have to go to the Belvedere to see his work. And Sheila actually approached Klimt in 1907. And Klimt saw that Sheila was actually incredibly talented and took on a mentor role for him. So Sheila's work between 1907 and 1909 are very heavily influenced by Klimt. So you can see a lot of... the work that he does is very similar to Klimt. And Klimt actually had bought a lot of his paintings at the beginning. I guess Klimt really did see potential. So in 1908, Sheila has his first exhibition in Klosterneuburg. But then in 1909, he drops out of the Academy of Art after 3 years of schooling. And Hitler was probably like, thanks, buddy. Could have been a space for me. So after he leaves school, he helps... found the new Kunstgruppe, the new art group, which is a collection of different artists and working in expressionism style. So by 1910, he starts exploring with nude subject matters. His self-portrait is called Kneeling Nude with Raised Hands and is considered one of the most influential works and caused a huge stir.
Tell me you've been in Vienna too long without sound.
I will show you a picture later. And the funny thing is that when you Google a lot of his artworks, they're blurred and you have to click on because it's not safe for work.
Ah.
So I will show you those in a little bit. So in 1911, he meets 17-year-old Wally Neutzel. Her real name is Walburga. She moves in with him and becomes one of his models. It's believed that she also had an affair with Klimt before, that she was kind of an art groupie, but...
This was apparently very, this was a famous thing. This was before the rock bands came about.
Right.
You know,
before being a band-aid or an art thing. She was very young, so I don't want to, victim shame her at all. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about Vali. So she was from the town Tattendorf, which is just north of Vienna. Her father died either in 1902 or 1905, and because of poverty, her mother and sisters moved to Vienna. Reports say that Vali's occupation was a cashier and a storefront model. She was also known as an art model, but in those days there was kind of a fine line between sex worker and
art model.
Art model, and according to some parents, I think that line still exists.
Yeah. it's like, oh no, it's only Playboy.
It's only OnlyFans. So she ends up meeting Sheila through Klimt. And they fall in love. At one point, they decide to move to Český Krumlov, which is where Sheila's mother was from, in order to escape stuffy Vienna, because Vienna is considered stuffy. They're shortly kicked out of town because he uses very young teenage girls as his models. Problematic. Mm-hmm. Then they moved to...
I like how you look for my reaction on that.
Yeah, I want to.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Oh, you think it's all that good. Whew. So they then moved to a town called Neulengbach, which is 35 kilometers, 22 miles, west of Vienna. Egon is looking for inspiration in that town, and studio rent is much cheaper. His artistic lair, or artist lair, attracts the, quote, delinquent, unquote, children, and eventually the authorities discover that he might have slept with a 13-year-old girl. Ooh. Age of consent was 14. He is imprisoned and sketches while he is in there.
Wait a minute. Is it still 14?
I did not look it up.
That's crazy.
It's probably not. I don't know. We'll have to... I mean...
It wouldn't shock me, though, in Europe.
Yes. To be fair, a 14-year-old is so much more mature than I am here. I meet teenagers here, and I'm like, oh, you have your life figured out.
We were at a function here in Vienna, and we spoke to, I think, a 15-year-old girl, like a daughter of a friend. And I swear, she's like, I'm thinking of doing this, and then I'm like this. And I'm just like, I think at the time, same age as my son. And I'm like, oh, my God. <I know. laughs>
She was so much smarter than we are. It was one of the funniest things. I felt so bad about myself. Anyway, so age of consent. So he's imprisoned, and he sketches while he's in prison. And after 20 days, he has his trial. This is a small town. The rape charge is dismissed, but he is charged for having explicit content that children can see.
Mm-hmm.
The judge burns one of his artworks that depicts a young girl topless, and he burns it in court. But then Egon only serves 3 days more, because his whole sentencing was 23 days. So it's important to note that this case was dismissed when it came to the rape of the young girl, which is important. So then Wally and Sheila move back to Vienna, and he has several shows. He's very popular at this time. And then in 1914, he's moved to Hietzing area near Schönbrunn,
mm-hmm.
and he sees these two girls or women, they're of age, Edith and Adele, and their last name is Harm, and they're sisters. So his studio is at 101 Hietzinger Hauptstrasse, and these sisters live across the street. So you can actually go and see his studio. I put it on the Frau Batsby Instagram.
Yeah, I saw it.
He said, thank you. Mm. And then on the other side, you can see where the sisters lived with their family.
Mm.
It's a very pretty tree-lined street, and there's plaques on both sides, so you can find it. So at this time, Egon Schiele is still with his art muse, Wally, but he decides to propose to one of the sisters from across the street, Edith. And Edith says, you have to dump your girlfriend.
I can't hear the name Edith without thinking Archie Bunker. Hey, Edith.
Archie. Egon. So, Sheila writes in a letter to a friend, Arthur Rüssler, that he was, quote, planning to marry advantageously, not Vali, end quote. So he tells Vali that he's going to get married, but that he wants to continue his relationship with her. And he tells her in a public cafe, probably so she, you know, don't act all crazy.
There are no knives on the table. Good.
And Vali actually is pretty ticked off. She's upset about this. And
oh, shock.
She goes to Neiman Marcus, gets herself a dress. No, she decides that she's going to register as a war nurse. This is during World War One. It's just mm-hmm. kind of started. And she ends up passing away in Croatia in 1915 from scarlet fever at the age of 23.
Oof.
So she has a very tragic end story. And there are pictures of her, of course, because she was his muse for a while. Actually, I'm about to talk about it now. So one of Sheila's most famous pieces depicting Vali is in the Leopold Museum in the museum's quartier. And this is a quote, portrait of Vali is currently on display at the Leopold Museum in Vienna. It was subject to a protracted legal battle in 1998 following its display on loan in the U.S. after the New York Times reported that the painting had been improperly acquired by the museum via Nazi looting of Jewish-owned art during the Holocaust. In 2010, the Leopold Museum reached a $19 million settlement with the family of Lea Bondi Jarre, an art dealer who had originally owned the painting before being forced to sell it and flee Austria in 1939, following the Anschluss and subsequent Aryanization of Austria. So as we know, a lot of artwork was taken away from Jewish families. And so, yeah, a lot of the work now has to have provenance, and a lot of places like the Dorotheum, the auction house here, is actually, apparently from what I heard from a friend, does a very good job of researching each piece to make sure that either the family is compensated or contacted, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so back to Egon and Edith getting married. Edith, her parents are not thrilled because he's eccentric and you know, they were very middle class and staunchly Protestant. They get married June 17th, your birthday, in 1915, which was also the anniversary of her parents,
which is also the Joe Biden and Jill
wedding anniversary,
yeah, at the UN chapel
where we tried to get married.
Yeah,
they never would. So
we had to settle for a tavern on the green.
Bastards. Not tavern. They were fantastic. Oh, no. I have to get married.
Sarcasm
there.
Tag again.
Yeah. I am very sarcastic. So they marry at the Evangelical Lutheran Church on Dorothea Gasse, which is across from the Jewish Museum and also across from the auction house Dorotheum, where they sell his work. So I think that's a really interesting thing. So you can actually go and see the church that they got married in. Only 3 days after their wedding, Egon Schiele is conscripted for the war and sent to Prague. Edith joins him and stays in a hotel in Prague. Once in a while, he's able to see her. Even though he is serving, his work is still being exhibited around Europe. His job during the war is to transport Russian POWs, and he continues to sketch when he has time, but he has a very weak heart, so his commanding officer actually makes him a clerk at a POW camp and lets him use an empty room to work on his art.
Oh, that's cool.
He mainly draws Russian prisoners, and Edith is with him still at this time, so she kind of follows him around, and he continues to sketch. He's released from the army in 1917, World War I is still going on, and he returns to Vienna, and he's able to focus solely on his art. And he's become very popular at this point. He's a very famous artist. And he's, you know, only 26, 27. He even designs the poster for the upcoming Succession's 49th exhibit. The Succession is that gold roof building right by Nashmarkt, near us. His poster is very famous. It's called The Last Supper. And he gets even more popular. He also paints his wife's sister, Adele. And there's a speculation that he also slept with Edith's sister.
Well, there's always going to be speculation if it's, or were they nudes?
Well, she's wearing bloomers, which is kind of...
Oh.
Shocking. Yeah. And I just think Thanksgiving would be really awkward.
So,
how are you doing, Adele? Tragically, she actually passes away at the age of 78 in the late 60s. And she's also buried with Schiele and his wife. I guess keep it in the family. But she never had kids. And in the book, The Flames, which is kind of the fictionalized version of, or fictionalized story of these women, with some facts, of course, they make it seem like she was in love with Schiele and she was upset that he married her sister.
So Adele was probably like, hello, it's me.
It's me. Pretty much. So then by 1918, the Spanish flu has hit Vienna really, really hard. In late October, Edith is 6 months pregnant and she dies. His wife dies while she's 6 months pregnant of the Spanish flu. Only 3 days later, hi kiddo, on October 31st, he passes away and he was only 28. He died at 28. It's crazy. So, yeah, because they were at her parents' place across the street from his studio when she passes. And he did artwork while he was dying of his wife. I mean, it's incredibly tragic. So his work really became very popular 100 years later. So, I mean, he was popular at the time that he was alive. And then people kind of forgot about Schiele's work, except critics knew about him. And then it became very, very popular, especially around 2011. The Leopold Museum actually sold one of his pieces for $40 million.
40.
It's no Picasso.
What was before inflation? It's probably 139 now.
So the Leopold Museum has one of the biggest collections you can see. Also, there's the Belvedere and the Albertina. And there's a Schiele Museum in Thun from where he was born. A lot of his work is kind of grotesque, is kind of a common word that comes up. I am not a huge Schiele fan, but I can appreciate some of his work. And I will show you a couple of pictures of his stuff. Oh, this is a picture of Krampus. That's not what I want to show you. This was one of his nude paintings of himself.
So it's like supposed to be veiny?
No. Do you mean veiny as in terms of veins or vanity?
Can you use that in terms of vanity? Like, well, if somebody is very vain, he's very vain.
We can make it a word. This is a painting of, and these pictures will be, well, some of them will be available on the Frabowski Instagram. This is a picture of his sister-in-law, Adele.
Oh, that's very cool.
That one I like.
Yeah.
That's one of his most famous ones. And then this one was in actually the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay. Yeah. It's very distant. But I think, but it, there's something very, as a reader and consumer of comics, I can definitely see a lot of...
comic book stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Marvel.
I don't know if there was full Bush in any Marvel comics. Looks have changed.
Well, so... the 90s, you know, the things went away.
Things went away. Excuse me. So Schiele was very popular during his time in the Jewish art community. A lot of Jews owned his work, and I can just see some grandmother being like, it's an investment piece. You'll thank me when you're older. And then like somebody looking at like a woman spread eagle as they're having Shabbat dinner. Like some of the stuff I would be like, I'm going to keep this in the, in a certain area. I don't think it's, yeah. I kind of feel like a gynecologist sometimes when I look at his work.
Oh.
So of course, during World War II, the Vugesta, also Vugestap, which I had never heard of this before, which stands for Vermögensumzugsgut von der Gestapo, which means property removed by the Gestapo. It was a Nazi looting organization. I love how organized they were.
I love how there's a word for everything.
There's a word for everything.
How do you say, is there a word for property removed by the Gestapo?
So, yeah, it was a Nazi looting organization in Vienna that from 1940 to 1945 seized the possessions of 5,000 to 6,000 Viennese Jews. It was a key player in the Aryanization of Jewish property, redistributing private property stolen from Jewish Austrians to non-Jewish or Aryan Austrians during the Nazi reign in Austria.
Mm.
Do you remember in Russian Doll, where she goes back in time
right.
to Hungary?
Right.
And then you've got...
this warehouse of...
the warehouse where people who are from higher up in the Nazis like can pick what they want, yeah, pretty much, and buy it. So you can actually still purchase Egon Schiele's stuff, mainly his sketches. He drew so much in his short life. It's absolutely amazing. So on average, just a simple sketch sells for about 200,000 euros. There, of course, continues to be controversy about his work. Some people find it grotesque, and there is also the issue of his alleged sexual assault of minors. Just a little issue with that. There was even a show in Boston that had a plaque added to explain his crimes at one of his exhibitions a few years ago. I think it's just one of those separating the work from the artist type of situations. Also, if he did not, but yeah, it's, I can be very sanctimonious, be like, I never liked his work. So, again, of course, there are many discussions of whether he should be canceled, and we're not going to go into that because that's complicated. It's funny that there is now like a big movement that people are really upset that... wait, what did I wanted to say here? Oh, yeah, so there's a big movement to kind of change his history. So the art world is trying to whitewash a lot of his crimes. So I read a few articles that were kind of trying to make it seem that people are a little bit too upset. It's kind of like the anti-cancel movement now. And somebody wrote that actually in the case of the 13-year-old who he maybe slept with, there had been a kidnapping charge as well by her father because he had taken her to Vienna. And then the story that he said was that she wanted to visit her grandmother in Vienna, so he took her. Yeah, I don't know. This was like over 100 years ago. I'm not going to research this one.
Hey, little girl, want to see your grandmother?
Sounds great. Well, I appreciate art. I love art. I don't think I could be an artist. I don't enjoy the bohemian lifestyle.
Well, do you have to have the bohemian lifestyle to be a good...
I think kind of. Yeah, sometimes.
You gotta have some kind of pain, I guess.
No, I literally watched Reality Bites as a kid, and I wanted Winona Ryder to end up with the Ben Stiller stockbroker. I don't like chaos. I cause chaos. I don't want to live in chaos.
We do like comfortable living, yeah.
Yeah, no, not even that. I don't know. Remember that Columbo with the artist and his three wives? That was a great episode.
Probably influenced by Sheila.
So that's pretty much the story of Mr. Egon Sheila. Anything you'd like to add?
Well, no, this is very informative. I will immediately be looking at expressionist versus impressionist things. Really, the end of the word is the most important part. It's implode, explode. It's, you know, the building goes down.
Yeah, so, it's true.
So, you know, I think we shouldn't really look at the prefix to of
cover
words.
Cover up your gaff, your social gaff. Well, at least it wasn't a party.
Pas.
No. The favorite one of mine that I told you about was when I was out for dinner and somebody was talking about Genf. In Switzerland, and I was like, I've never been to Genf, but I have been to Geneva. And I did not realize it was the same place.
No. This is where you say, you know, you're being sarcastic, you know?
No, it just, that was humiliating. That was with some very European people, and to this day, I still cringe.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just, you're walking down the street and you're like, oh.
Yeah, in the shower going, oh, God.
Well, mine is for all of our listeners to listen
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it's great.
So.
Now I can publicize it. I'm going to say how Eric's learned about the difference between expressionism and impressionism.
I'm not a smart man.
I know.
But I know what art is.
We're going to go to a museum next weekend. Okay, well, that's it for our episode. Stay tuned for next week. We have a big, big hitter. Don't stop the recording until
I'm putting it, last time
cut me off.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Also, if people want to look at pictures of the church where Egon Sheila got married, etc., you can find it all on the Frau Bautzi Instagram page. Also, please subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Click the like button.
Please, 5 stars only.
I don't think there is a like button on podcasts.
So. I don't think so. But please follow us if you can. Please share with friends. And we're having a great time doing this. So thanks all for listening. Anything to add?
And part two is next week.
No, that was part one. He died.
Well, no.
Why would there be a part two?
I don't know. Maybe afterwards is like, you know, artist influenced by Sheila. See, this is how much input I put into, you know, this. I just show up.
He died at 28. There's no part two. I mean, I'm sure if I was a, you know, a learned person, I could have stretched it out. But we're moving on to
You're incredibly learned.
Things.
I mean, implode, explode.
We're going to watch Real Housewives.
Sorry, impressionism.
All right, well, that's it for now. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Invertebrate, extrovertebrate.
I will see you all next week, or we'll hear you next week. Take care. Happy weekend.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.